We thank the Lord. Thank Him for His goodness. Thank Him for His mercy. Thank you for salvation. Thank you for His provisions. Thank you for the breath that we take. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. Well, good morning, Good Hope. It's good to see you all of y'all here, and it's a great day to be in the house of the Lord one more time. If the Lord's been good to you, make some noise in this place. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Well, I'm going to start with the prayer, and then I pray that this message I have for you will be inspirational and encouraging to your life, that it will change your life forever. Let us pray. Gracious Lord, thank you so much for this wonderful day. Lord, we are so thankful for the gift of everlasting life through the blood of your Son, Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord, that we have a reasonable portion of health and strength, that we're clothed in our right mind, and we're here today to give you the glory and honor that is due your holy and magnificent and righteous name. Lord, hide me behind the cross and let your word go forth and find fertile ground in the hearts of minds, that it may germinate fruit that brings glory and honor to your name. We thank you. We love you for all that you are. It's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. I had a first cousin, 17 years old. He committed a crime. He committed a sin. He was arrested, incarcerated, placed in confinement, and he was there 30 years. 30 years in prison, penitentiary, confinement. And it was a struggle for him. But he made a decision that caused him to suffer for his choices. 30 years. And he was finally released on May 15th of this year, now in his 50s. And suddenly, 2 weeks ago, he died of a massive heart attack. And I preached his eulogy a week ago. So what does it have to do with you and I? And I think we can learn a lot of life lessons just examining the life of my first cousin, Johnny Bryant Darrington III. And that is, all of us, at one point or another, have allowed ourselves to be held captive by sin, by suffering, by struggles in life. And we allowed ourselves to be held in confinement that has prevented us from enjoying the blessings and all that God has in store for our lives. What do you mean, preacher? What I mean is, well, first of all, I'll start with this. The word confinement means to be in prison, to be in a place with no way out, to be in a hopeless despair, to be in a place of loneliness and isolation, a place where you feel that there is no answer, a place of misery, a place of heartaches. And all of us have been there. In other words, some of you all have been abused, and you just cannot forgive the person who hurt you. Some of you all are holding on to bitterness towards your adult parents. Some of you all have been raised by a single mother, and your father was not in your life, and you're angry with him. Some of you all have some regrets. You wish you could have done things differently in raising your children, and now your mistakes has caused discourse in your relationship with your adult children. There are some regrets there. And sometimes we allow anger and bitterness and unforgiveness to hold us captive. But I've got some good news for you today, y'all. I want to show you how you can move from confinement to freedom in Christ. How to move from confinement to freedom in Christ. And if you're going to move from being a prisoner of your past, being a prisoner of your strongholds, from being held captive by those things in life that displeases God, the first thing you must do is realize there are lessons to be learned in confinement. There are lessons to be learned in confinement. I'm sure my cousin learned some lessons while he was in confinement. One verse here I want to point out is Proverbs 13:12. It says, "Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but desire fulfilled is a tree of life." Hope deferred makes the heart sick. That is, to anticipate something that you need, but it doesn't arrive, makes the heart sick. In other words, it compels us to become disappointed. It compels us to question the goodness of God. It compels us even maybe to throw in the towel and just give up. It makes the heart sick. So in confinement, what lessons are there to be learned? What is it that makes the heart sick? First of all, we realize very quickly that there are consequences for the poor decisions that we make. There are consequences for the poor decisions that we make. Have you ever made a poor decision? Have you ever made a decision you thought was the right path and only to be disappointed and find out that it was the wrong decision and it resulted in disunity with your marriage? It disrupted your financial situation. It causes problems. It causes more pain and everything else. You made some bad decisions, and all of us have made some bad decisions in our lives. That's one lesson we can learn while we're in confinement. But that's another lesson here. Life is full of regrets. Life is full of regrets. If it's one thing, it's another. And the word regret here means to mourn over something, to have sorrow, to lament over the decision that we've made. Life is full of regrets. And it seems like there's one problem after another, after another, after another, after another. Life is full of regrets. And regrets can make the heart sick, to leave us feeling disappointed. Then there are restrictions and limitations in life. There are restrictions and limitations in life. All of y'all know that, right? Now, one of the things I've learned about youth, young adults coming out of high school, there are four lies that youngsters believe that our culture is communicating and influence the thought process of our youth. One is autonomous. This idea that we are self-ruled, we can do whatever we want to do. Then there's self-knowledge. That is, I know enough to make it. No one can tell me anything. I know it all. Then I am self-sufficient. I don't need anybody to help me. I can make it all by myself. And then the last thing is, I am entitled. I am entitled. My parents owe me. People owe me. I deserve certain things. And people exist for my own self-gratification. And if you can't give me what I want or what I need, I don't need you. The truth of the matter is many young adults grow up to be adults that hold on to these same lies. But there are restrictions in life. And that's the third lesson we can learn while we are in confinement. There's a Greek proverb that says, sufferings are lessons, or life lessons. Laura Lee said this, the way of surviving is to find meaning in your suffering, to find meaning in your struggles. There's another person who's anonymous said this, out of a suffering come the strongest souls. God's wounded often make the best soldiers. So, but there's some good that comes out of our suffering and out of our struggles. But there are restrictions in life and there are lies that people tend to embrace that we need to address. And the last lesson that we can learn in confinement or while we're here captive is this. You can't put your trust in man. You can't do it. You cannot put your trust in man. Man cannot save you. My dad once said this. He's been dead for a while now, 7 months. He said this. He pastored until his death, 93 years old. He said this to me. He said it over and over again. He said this. People will say, I'm be your friend through thick and thin. But when it gets thick, they thin out. They thin out, and you all know I'm telling the truth. People ask to borrow money from you, and they cry and they sob, and you feel sorry for them, and you take your light bill money or your car note or your mortgage payment, and you give it to them to help them. They say they pay you back in 3 months. Then it's tax season, and you have taxes due. You need your money. You call them, they ghost you. And then you find out they're on a trip to Hawaii, Waikiki. with their income tax check. Owing you. You can't put your trust in people. They will let you down. But there's some good news today. You don't have to stay in confinement. You don't have to remain a prisoner. You don't have to allow your past to hinder your future. So you must recognize, the second point is this, not only are there lessons to be learned in confinement, but you must recognize in Christ you can walk in freedom. In Christ, you can walk in freedom. Let me clarify something before I go into the next point. That is this. Being a Christian does not mean you'll never sin. Doesn't mean that. Being a Christian doesn't mean you'll never suffer. Being a Christian doesn't mean you will never encounter struggles in life. Doesn't mean that. But being a Christian means that you don't have to be held captive by those things. That you have the victory over sin, and you have the victory over your struggles, and you have the victory over your struggles and suffering. You can make it through life no matter what, and we can find freedom in Christ. John chapter 8, verse 31, 32 says this. So Jesus was saying to those Jews who had believed him, if you continue in my word, then you're truly disciples of mine. And you will know the truth, and the truth will set you free, will make you free. The truth will make you free. What truth is that? What truth was Jesus proclaiming here on earth? Jesus was proclaiming that he is the Son of the living God, that he came to deliver us from sin and to proclaim freedom to prisoners so that we can know the true and living God. So because of Christ, then, regardless of our bad decisions, that's a lesson learned in confinement. The God we serve is a merciful God. The God we serve, we can make some poor decisions. Our God is still a merciful God. He forgives us of our sins. He forgives us of our poor decisions. I was counseling a married couple once, and the wife said, I just cannot forgive my husband for how he talked to me. I cannot forgive my husband for him cursing me out. I can't forgive him. A husband may say, I'm not going to put up with disrespect. I'm the man. I wear the shoes here. So you're going to respect me. So people will say, I just can't forgive my husband. I can't forgive my wife. I can't forgive my son. I can't forgive my daughter. So I ask this question here. Think about the time when you were born, if you can remember back that far. I would say, how many sins have you committed against God since birth? Here's a piece of paper, write it down for me, here's paper. Oh, you need a notebook. Oh, that's not big enough. You need a dictionary, something the size of a dictionary. Oh, you can't count them. But yet God has forgiven you for every single one of those things. Enough to fill up a dictionary, and you have the audacity to withhold forgiveness because of this one issue? And I say this all the time. One of the biggest issues in marriages and relationships, not just marriages, is the unwillingness to forgive. God called us to love God and love our neighbor as ourselves. And watch this. An unwillingness to forgive is an unwillingness to love. If I'm withholding forgiveness, I'm withholding love. But thank God we serve a God who's not like man, whose forgiveness is unconditional. We can praise God for that. God forgives sins, even our poor decisions. And watch this. The poor decisions that we make, the sins that we commit cannot separate us from the love of God. According to Romans 8, 38, 39, it cannot separate us from the love of God. Lamentations 3, 22 and 23 says this, because of the Lord's great love, we'll not consume, for his compassions never fail. They are new every morning, and great is your faithfulness. Amen. Exodus 34, 6 and 7 says, The Lord God, merciful and gracious, long-suffering and abounding in goodness and truth, keeping mercy for thousands and forgiving iniquity, transgression, and sin. Forgiving iniquity, transgressions, and sin. First of all, the text says, God is merciful. He doesn't give us what we deserve. But God is gracious. He gives what we don't deserve. Then he's long-suffering. That is, he puts up with us. He tolerates us. And then God is forgiving of our iniquity, which is a deliberate crime against God. And then transgression is a direct rebellion against what we know is right. And then sin is a violation of God's standard. God forgives us. No matter what type of form of sin we commit, God forgives us. So my point is this. Regardless of the bad decisions you make in life, the God we serve is a merciful God who does not give us the punishment that we deserve. Secondly, although life is full of regrets, there's joy in the gospel of Christ. Although life is full of regrets, we all have regrets, but there's joy in the gospel of Christ. And Jesus said, I came to give them life so they can have it more abundantly. In John 11, when Lazarus died, John 11, verse 21, when Lazarus died, Martha said to Jesus, Martha then said to Jesus, Lord, if you had been here, y'all know the story, my brother would not have died. And Jesus said to Martha, I am the resurrection and the life, and he who believes in me will live even if he dies. And everyone who lives, believes in me, will never die. Do you believe this? My brothers and sisters, I am saying to you, that alone is enough to rejoice over. That Jesus Christ is the resurrection and he is the life. And although we have regrets in life, we have joy in the gospel of Christ and what he did on the cross. Third, there are restrictions. I said there are some restrictions in life. We learned that. There are limitations and restrictions in life. But God has given us freedom. We are free in Christ. But God alone is the supreme authority, the creator and the sustainer of heaven and earth. God is omniscient. He's all-knowing. Nothing is hidden from his sight. And God is sufficient. He is doing enough and he is enough in our lives. Even in the midst of our frailties, God is sufficient. Jesus said, you will know the truth, and the truth will make you free. Life has restrictions, as I stated before. But embracing the truth about God and his word makes us free, y'all. That's what I'm trying to say to you. So if you want to walk in freedom of life, you've got to embrace the truth of God's word. What truth? That God is a supreme authority. That God is sufficient. That God is long-suffering, that God is a good God. God is a merciful God. He is a gracious God. He's a providential God. He provides what we need. He is our protector. He is our provider. He is our sustainer. He is our life. It's in him that we live and breathe and have our being. We can rejoice over the truth of his word. Now, there's a verse, Hebrews 11:6 says, without faith, it's impossible to please God. But those who come to God must believe that he is and that he's a rewarder of those who seek him. We have to embrace who God is. The problem with us, y'all, we know who God is. We do. But we don't embrace it as truth. That's a mistake we make at times. Knowledge in itself is not enough if you're unwilling to embrace it. For example, a person says, I know God is sufficient, that he will supply all of my needs in Christ Jesus. But then when the money gets funny, and the month is longer than my money, or I'm laid out from work, I begin to question whether or not God is sufficient. But you just said you know God is sufficient. So how come you're down and out and depressed? Because I know it, but I'm not embracing it. And when we know the truth and don't embrace it, it's almost equivalent to a Christian atheist. Someone who says they know, but refuse to embrace it by faith. And last thing is, you must place your trust in God. You must place your trust in God. I'm not talking about your feelings. I'm talking about your faith. Place your trust in God. Now, we can't trust our heart, because our heart is deceitful and wicked above all else, according to Jeremiah 17:9. But Jeremiah 17:7-8 says, blessed is the man who trusts in the Lord, whose trust is the Lord, for he will be like a tree planted by water that extends its root by a stream and will not fear when the heat comes, but his leaves will be green and will not be anxious in a year of drought, nor cease to yield fruit. We can put our trust in God, y'all. And God is a faithful God. He's a God who holds to his promises. Yes, man will let you down, but Jesus is a true friend. Jesus says, greater love has no one have than this, that he laid down his life for his friend. And Jesus laid down his life for us so we can have life in abundance. Regardless of the bad decisions, God is merciful. Although life is full of regrets, there's joy in the gospel. Although there are restrictions in life, we have freedom in Christ. Although we can't put our trust in man, they'll let us down. But we must place our trust in God alone. I have the story of a man who was caught stealing something in Russia. And they placed this man in a Russian prison, and he was there 10 years. 10 years. And then finally he was released. He went back home to be reunited with his family. And during the first 2 weeks he was home, his teenage daughter died in a head-on collision. 2 weeks after that, there was a gas explosion at home while he was at work, and his wife burned to death. And he lost everything. So a news broadcaster interviewed him and stuck a microphone in his face and said, you've been in prison and you've just been released and set free just recently, and you're home now, and you lost your teenage daughter, your wife, and everything you have. How does it feel to be home? He says, yes, I'm free. Yes, my heart is heavy because of my loss, but this is not my home. This is not my home. I'm just passing through. See, I am a child of God, saved by the blood of Christ, and this is not my home. I'm going to stand firm on the promises of God. First of all, what promise of God? First of all, Philippians 3:20 says, for our citizenship is in heaven, from which we also eagerly wait for a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus says, do not let your heart be troubled, but believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, there are many dwelling places. If I have not told you so, for I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you into myself. For there where I am, you will also be. Our home is not here, y'all. The suffering that we experience is temporary. Ultimate freedom is when we get home in eternity. We can rejoice over that, but what about the here and now? How can we experience freedom even while we're amongst the living? We got to stand firm on the promises of God. What promises of God? The Bible says, Psalms 46:1, God is our refuge and strength, and ever-present help in time of trouble. The Bible says, the Lord is good, a stronghold of those who seek him. He knows those who take refuge in him. The Bible says, the Lord is my shepherd. I shall not want. He makes me to lie down in green pasture. He leads me beside the still water. The Bible says, but those who wait on the Lord will mount up with wings like eagles, will run and not grow weary, will walk and not faint. But brothers and sisters, I say to you this morning, sing unto the Lord, according to Psalms 30, verse 5. Sing unto the Lord, all you saints, and give thanks to the remembrance of his holiness. For his anger endureth but a moment, and his favor is life. Weeping may endure for a night, but joy, cometh in the morning. What makes all this possible? Because we have the victory in Christ. Like Martin Luther King said, just freedom at last. Freedom at last. Thank God Almighty, we are free at last. So I want to encourage you to stand firm on the promises of God, to walk in freedom, and to enjoy the victory. How do we do that? Here's the gospel. It's the gospel of Christ that sets us free, y'all. Now I make known to you, brethren, the gospel which I preached to you, which also you received, and which you also stand. Say stand for me. But which also you are saved, say saved. If you hold fast the word which I preach to you, unless you believe it in vain. For I deliver to you at the first importance what I also received, that Christ died for our sins according to Scripture, and that he was buried, he was raised on the third day according to Scripture. That's the truth, y'all. And he appeared to Cephas and then to the 12. So how are you going to move from confinement to freedom? You must realize there are lessons to be learned in confinement. You must recognize in Christ we can walk in freedom. And that's all you need to be set free. Remember these words. No matter where you are, no matter how long you've been there, no matter how long you've been held captive, no matter how long you've been angry, no matter how long you've been bitter, no matter how long you've been disappointed in life, you got to remember this. You've got to stand firm on the promises of God. You have to walk free and enjoy the victory. Say that with me. Stand firm. Walk free and enjoy the victory. Stand firm. Walk free and enjoy the victory. Stand firm. Walk free and enjoy the victory.